Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Clare FM, the IBI, and funded by Cumasna Man with the television licence fee. Check out ourstoprotect.ie for more info.
Welcome to another episode of Ours to Protect on Clare FM. Today we're going to hear why Ireland's bogs and peatlands are so important to our biodiversity. Peatlands are home to a high proportion of Ireland's biodiversity. Depending on how we manage our peatlands, they can contribute to Ireland's biodiversity emergency or they can support biodiversity mitigation plans. In Clare, a number of projects have been undertaken in recent years to re-wet bogs that were originally drained to facilitate turf cutting. Catherine Nikira is a landowner at Shanachyle Parteen. She re-wetted about 30 acres of raised bog as part of the Shanachyle Bog Restoration Project.
It's generally farmland. There's a lot of cattle around here, but there is a bog here as well. Very, very old bog. Now, there was a lot of the area was probably bog back years and years ago, but a lot of it has been reclaimed as well. And it's a raised bog, so it hasn't been touched in about 40, 50 years. You know, they haven't cut turf or anything on it in that length of time, so...
Just sitting idle.
It's just sitting idle.
Wouldn't be good land, obviously.
But no. It's very wet. It is. Now, people cut turf for years there. They did it a lot during World War II. There was a bit of a drive on to cut turf and things like that. And there was an awful lot of people up here then cutting turf. But, I mean, most of the people have emigrated, have died off, you know. And even when we had a man up here that he was doing the re-wetting with us, he was actually digging out the buns for us, digging it out so that we could close off the drains and... you know, cause the water to stay there rather than draining off. And he said it's the first bog he's been in that nobody came up to him and actually asked him what he was doing. He didn't meet one soul. And he has been up in the Midlands, he's been up in the North, he's been everywhere in bogs, and it's the only bog that no one has even come near, you know. So it's literally been left untouched for years.
At what point did you become aware that maybe something could be done with the bog?
I always loved the idea of leaving the bog grow and do what it was doing, but I didn't realise that when people cut turf back in the day, they put drains in to drain it out, to leave the water run out, and that way it would dry it out, so it would be dry enough to cut the turf. So I knew Barry Loughlin for years, and I asked Barry about, I was thinking of putting some trees up near the bog, but all the grants and everything like that were for trees that you had to cut down, and that's the last thing I wanted. You know, I wanted something for the wildlife. And he told me about all the grants that you can get to re-wet the bog, which I didn't know was a thing. I thought it was doing what it should be doing when it wasn't touched in so many years. So we got a grant to re-wet the bog, and now it's all starting to grow again, and the sphagnum moss is growing. And at the moment, there's around April and May, we have loads of bog cotton that usually happens when it's re-wetted for a while. It's absolutely beautiful up there. But we have loads of wildlife up there as well. You know, it's really untouched up there.
So the bog had been drained to facilitate turf cutting.
Turf cutting.
And by re-wetting it, you're reintroducing life into the bog?
Into the bog, yes. Yeah. Also, any of the turf that was ever cut there was always done by hand. It wasn't by machinery. So there wouldn't have been the damage done to it. You know, in that sense, okay, it was cut for years and years, but there wasn't big machinery. And it was all just cut in bits and pieces here and there by the different families that owned it. But yeah, we have a lot of wildlife up there. I mean, I've often seen the hares up around there now, and we've got a kestrel up there. We've got owls down in the field. We've got barn owls nesting there, and the buzzard is around. And
buzzard?
The buzzard, yeah. The buzzard is around. Now, you'd often hear him squealing around the place. There's two of them. And there's a lot of small birds up there as well. And of course, with the ducks. The ducks love it now since it was because it's been re-wetted up there. And it's lovely to see. You could walk up there some days and a fox would run across in front of you, and then you go down further and you hear the ducks and two other birds flying around. And you would think you were, I don't know, miles from civilization up there. Do you know, it's lovely.
You educated yourself about the good that re-wetting a bog would do. Where did you go to from there? I know you had been in contact with Barry O'Loughlin, the biodiversity officer in Clare County Council. But where do you start then in terms of re-wetting a bog?
Well, we got some experts in. We got a guy in that he would check that if we were re-wetting the bog that we didn't cause any flooding in the area, you know, anywhere else that would cause damage anywhere like that. The other guy that did closed up all of the drains and dug a few buns as well, because he put stuff up on top of the other ones to make a height there, because the water has to be a specific height, because in the summer it can go if the weather is dry, it can go down very low, and in the winter it could get very high. But you have to have it a particular height, the water, for the sphagnum to grow. So Barry was good at that sort of thing, Barry O'Loughlin, because that was his, you know, his expertise on that side of things. But I mean, I got a lot of information too from the Community Wetlands Forum. It's an online group. They're very helpful. They give great advice, and there's loads of people in it and a lot of experts in it.
What kind of work then went into the project, and what supports were available to you?
All right, well, we got the a grant from the Department of Agriculture for it. We got a lot of advice from people that had, you know, had re-wetted before and used, you know, these grants and this kind of, you know, used Department of Agriculture grants. They helped us a lot, and Barry had some contacts too, you know, a lot of environmentalists and people like that that would have had some, you know, advice. But there's so many people out there that are willing to give you advice, because anytime we have a day up here for an open day or anything like that, loads of people come out. And another other people came down from Lions Club in Tullamore, and they were very interested in what we did here, and they got together, and now they're after re-wetting a bog up in up there. So, you know, it's great, like one person will influence somebody else, and they give them the courage to go and do it and find it's not as hard as they think, you know, and that there's loads of help there.
Was it a big undertaking though?
The hardest part really is just all the grant side of it, getting all that side of it done. The rest of it wasn't. Do you know, you're the people in there, and people were glad to help, and they went out of their way. I mean, people came down, even they would come down here that to look at jobs, or even came down in their own time or any time of the day. Do you know, it could even be a weekend. People were just so, they were so enthusiastic about helping out and, you know, doing things. But the hard bit was the paperwork, that kind of thing, just because you have, when you get a grant, you have to have, you know, it's just, you know, it's
all
hard.
The red tape.
Yeah, all the red tape. That bit was the hard bit. I'd be lying if I said it was easy, you know. But we got there.
You're listening to Ours to Protect on Clare FM.
Not far from Shanachyle is Springfield Clonlara, where Fergal Maron is a part-time farmer. Also working alongside Clare County Council's Biodiversity Office, in 2023, the presence of marsh fritillary butterfly larval webs was confirmed at his bog, known locally as Sheedy's Bog. Fergal applied for funding to commission a habitat management plan to enhance the marsh fritillary population by addressing scrub encroachment on the bog and looking at grazing stock levels. His work is supported by Clare County Council's Biodiversity Office and the National Parks and Wildlife Service.
We're located in Springfield Clonlara. It's on the farm of Patrick Sheedy, my father-in-law, and Eleanor Martin, also my wife. So there's a mixture of land types here. You've very good commercial land, which would be limestone based, and then you have other parts of the farms which would be estuarial clay, so it's low-lying summer meadow land, and you'd have a, what they call a dobwy substrate there that would provide a pan to prevent water permeating through, so it's quite cold ground. And then you have an area of bogland, so there's three distinct land types here.
The bog itself, how long since it was used for turf cutting?
Certainly Paddy Sheedy now, Paddy's 93, going on 94. His father would have purchased that bog back in the 50s. It was never used for turf cutting back then. It could have been used maybe in the 1800s and early 1900s. He's a vague memory as a child seeing some turf being cut there. It's interesting, there's a lime kiln in the holding near the bog, and also it's in a limestone patch of ground beside the bog. And there's actually a straight embankment going from there to the bridge over the Erna Canal just beside Cullum Honan's house in Clonlara village. So I think they would have prepared lime for mortar for the actual construction of the bridge there in Clonlara, possibly. So they'd use the bog, the turf there, from the 1790s onwards for that purpose, for the lime kiln, etc., I would say.
If the bog wasn't being used for cutting turf, was it still a lively place in terms of wildlife and biodiversity?
I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was. You know, you're going back in time, but the fact that the Erna Canal was built contributed to the starting of drainage of that bog, so it's probably losing water from then onwards, really. No, it was farmed. The Houlihan family had a dwelling house just up from the bog. That dwelling house is no longer there, but it was known as Houlihan's Bog in their time, and they would have farmed it, but I would say it would be extensive. It would be quite difficult to farm it intensively.
At what point did you see and appreciate the value of that habitat, and why did you then set out to do something about protecting it?
I suppose the Sheedies would have always seen the value of the wildlife in the bog, and Mike Sheedy would be a great man to go walking in the bog, and he would have always thought, you know, there was a special value to the wildlife there. And traditionally what Paddy Sheedy would have done was to rear heifers in the bog. So part of his enterprise was to rear dairy heifers that he would sell. So he put them down into the bog throughout the summer and they'd graze the bog as such. But there was always an appreciation of the wildlife down there, be it snipe or the cuckoo. And Paddy's own father, Mike Sheedy, would have had a great appreciation of the flowers growing in the bog. He had a great insight and knowledge on that, according to Paddy himself. And what we did there in recent years was to join the acres scheme, and through that it gave a better insight on the type of flowers growing in the bog. Sure, we have the barn owl here, and what I wanted to do was to put up some owl boxes to assist with the barn owls. So I went to an event in Castleconnell and I got talking there to Ronan Boyle, and Ronan's own interest was in the area of ponds for, you know, frogs or lizards, etc. So I said, sure, we might put one in the bog. And we brought Barry O'Loughlin down to look at it anyway, but Barry said it was an oasis for fauna, flora, and he said not to do anything, just to keep it the way it was. So the grazing scheme we had there, the summer grazing, was actually benefiting what was going on there. And he identified a lot of devilbit scabious down there, which is the plant that supports the marsh fritillary butterfly. So the marsh fritillary is a protected species in Europe. It's an endangered butterfly species, and there's quite a lot of it down there in the bog. At times the population fluctuates up and down because they can be susceptible to disease. So you have a good density of devilbit scabious plants growing there in the Melinia grass, which grows in the bog. Yeah, the cattle do a very good job of grazing extensively to maintain that habitat. So Barry said, rather than putting a pond there, just keep things the way that they are and protect it. Now, the big challenge there is forest encroachment. So traditionally, going back to the 1930s, 40s, 50s, traditional method of dealing with it would be to burn in the February time frame, you know, ground vegetation, burning it. But I suppose that's not the best solution either, or, you know, it's not the ideal solution. It is a possible solution at times if you have a serious infestation. So combination of grazing, and we're trying to optimize the grazing so we're not overgrazing, but we're preventing scrub encroachment, and maybe looking at cutting and removal of furze during the winter time.
This ongoing work of protecting the habitat in that bog, you're not doing that alone, you have support?
Yeah, I suppose the first step was to get an ecological study carried out to identify exactly what's there. So through the support of NPWS and Clare County Council, we engaged the services of an ecologist who carried out a detailed study of the bog and identified the various plants and insects that were present there, invertebrates, etc. And they came up with a proposed plan to maintain and enhance the bog. So we carried that out last year. Yeah, we're looking at steps towards that. One of the, I suppose, not the ideal situation we had was there was a stream adjacent to the bog into which cattle were going, so that wasn't ideal for drinking purposes. No, it was extensive rather than intensive, but putting in just a handful of water trucks to avoid that, then certain measures towards dealing with the furze, so cutting and removal of the furze itself. So that's probably the next step that we'll take. But there'll be a lot of manual work involved during the winter time in that. As an individual, they weren't able to support an individual directly, but they were able to offer support to the Clonlara Development Association. So Clonlara Development Association have been extremely helpful in facilitating the support of NPWS, be it in terms of the ecologists' reports and funding for that and various support.
There are two main types of peatland in Ireland, raised bogs and blanket bogs.
Peatlands cover roughly 17.6% of the Irish landscape.
When in good condition, they support a rich diversity of wildlife, can store and filter water, and can act as major carbon sinks.
Peatlands often form in poorly drained areas of high rainfall.
Raised bogs are mainly found in the Midlands, whereas blanket bogs are usually found in upland areas, especially along the west coast of Ireland.
Rewetting projects can help address the biodiversity crisis at local level.
There you heard pupils from CBS Primary School in Ennis. We also heard from Shanachie landowner Catherine Ní Chiara and part-time farmer Fergal Maron in Springfield, also in East Clare. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Ours to Protect.